Good morning. We are continuing today our series about the disciple Peter, following key moments in his life of adventure. Today we come to his celebrated address to the crowd at Pentecost, just a few short weeks after Jesus rose from the dead. We can all love Peter, relate to him, relate to the roller coaster ups and downs of his life with Jesus. His emotional swings from headstrong enthusiasm to shame and despair. Over recent weeks, we have looked at some key points in his life as a disciple. His calling to give up his life as a fisherman to follow Jesus. The drama of being caught in the storm. Seeing Jesus walking towards him on the water. Stepping out of the boat to join Jesus. Starting to sink. And crying out to Jesus to save him. Then, as Andy related last week, he went through the agony of realisation that when the pressure was on, he had denied that he even knew Jesus. How must he have felt about that and about seeing Jesus crucified? Not only had the man he had given up everything for, invested everything in, believed to be the Christ, not only had that man been put to death, but he, Peter, had fearfully denied that he even knew him. Just as Jesus had said that he would. He must have been in despair about what had happened, about how he had failed Jesus, fearful for his future, his confidence shot, sleepless nights. Then came Jesus' resurrection. Peter was one of those who ran to inspect the empty tomb. It is recorded that Jesus appeared to Peter before he appeared to the rest of the 12. And then, as Andy talked about, when Jesus appeared later to the disciples together, he dramatically forgave and restored Peter to the role that he had assigned him, to be the rock on which he would build his church. A few days later, Peter was there, sharing in the great joy of those who witnessed Jesus' ascension. I think there are two things that really stand out about Peter. Firstly, he, of all the disciples, was the one who really got who Jesus was. Remember that when Peter had left the boat to join Jesus walking on the water and had been saved, and they were both safely in the boat and the storm had died down, that Peter said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." A couple of chapters later in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus challenged the disciples with a question, "And who do you say I am?" And it was Peter who answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So he really did understand. And the second standout point about Peter, he had learned from his roller coaster of experiences. He had learned that he had to trust Jesus. When he was out of the boat, he walked on the water until he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at the waves. It was at that moment that he began to sink. It was when he looked back to Jesus and cried out to him that Jesus saved him. When he was at rock bottom after denying that he even knew Jesus, it was Jesus who forgave him, restored him. He had learned to depend on Jesus. He had learned that when he went away from Jesus, things turned ugly. If he trusted in Jesus, relied on him, he could do all sorts of things that he could not believe that he could do. He could do anything. And hadn't Jesus told him, "You, Peter, are the rock on which I will build my church"? So that is the context for the events of Pentecost a few days later, as read to us just now. On the face of it, it is extraordinary that Peter, who just a few weeks before was a broken man, had the confidence and the eloquence to stand up before a crowd that was restless and cynical. He was able to grab their attention and he spoke out proclaiming the truth about Jesus. We are told that those listening were cut to the heart. They were calling out, "What shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized." And they did, and they were, 3,000 of them that day. That is not just standing up and speaking out. That is spectacular. But Jesus, we know, did not speak in his own strength. He had learned to trust in Jesus. He had been given the freedom born of forgiveness and restoration and of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, gave him the words and the confidence, and he spoke through Peter. And he wants to speak through us. I guess that not many of us are blessed with natural ability to speak out in that way. I certainly am not. That said, we are not all put in Peter's position of being called to speak in challenging circumstances to a crowd of thousands. That morning, the Holy Spirit not only gave Peter the words and the confidence, but came and filled all who were there, complete with spectacular audiovisual sound effects. And for Peter, Pentecost was just the start. The next few chapters of Acts record Peter speaking out several times with growing confidence. They are worth a read. Down the ages, God, through the Holy Spirit, has blessed great preachers with a gift of explaining and inspiring, just as Peter did that morning. And in our own times, we are blessed that we can access today's generation of gifted speakers via the internet. In the world of politics and historic events, there is something wonderful about the power of speech, not just the language and the turn of phrase and the instantly recognisable voice, but the resonance with a particular moment in time. We will all have our favourites. For me, I think of Winston Churchill, John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela. But for us in the day-to-day, it is not about making big speeches or even about preaching. It is about how we speak and conduct ourselves in ordinary conversations or meetings with friends, colleagues, associates, neighbours, family. Or sometimes we may be challenged or have the opportunity to respond to a situation we find ourselves in. This is a real challenge. I cringe at the memory of occasions when I know I should have spoken out, or I have spent time after the event thinking over all the things that I wish I had said. My friends and colleagues have, I am sure, all known that I am a Christian. Some share that, some look down on it, some are intrigued, some are completely disinterested. Conversations will depend on where they are. What I think is important is that by signalling one's faith in a quiet way, one is opening the door and the Holy Spirit can step in. It is about recognising our sphere of influence and then depending on Jesus to use our influence. Well, I think it's not just speaking about God's love, the power of forgiveness and the hope that he brings. Yes, we are called to speak out about all of that, but we are also called to speak out for God where we see wrong. This is the practical application of loving your neighbour as yourself, in the words of the Great Commandment. We need to speak out where we see injustice, inequality, dishonesty, greed, corruption, all the things that Jesus spoke out against in his teaching. Sadly, it is all around us. It is tempting to feel that we are powerless to change it. But history teaches us that huge changes for the better can happen when people engage together in a righteous cause. The abolition of the slave trade, votes for women, creation of the NHS, the end of apartheid. It is up to all of us to engage and add our voice. There is a well-known saying, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. It's worth repeating. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. I have thought of that more than once as we have been reflecting in recent days on the rise and eventual defeat of the Nazis. What issue tugs at your heart? And can you think of how you can speak out about it? At a personal level, within our sphere of influence, with friends, colleagues, bosses, we are called to speak out where we sense wrong. It is a real challenge. How do I raise the issue? When is a good time? Will I make things worse? It is easy to look back and wish one had stepped out. The challenge is to have the courage to step out. But we need to remember Peter and take courage from his example. We do not need, nor should we, act in our own strength. Like Peter, we can look to Jesus, depend on him, and put our trust in him. Let us close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the example of your servant Peter. We put our trust in you. Give us the courage when you call to speak out about you and to speak out for you. Amen.